Our reading this morning is taken from Lamentations, chapter 3, beginning at verse 19. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him offer his cheek to the one who would strike him, and let him be filled with his grace. For men are not cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love, for he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men, to crush underfoot all prisoners in the land, to deny a man his rights before the Most High, to deprive a man of justice. Would not the Lord see such things? Who can speak and have it happen if the Lord has not decreed it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that both calamities and good things come? Why should any living man complain when punished for his sins? Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. May God bless his word to ourselves this morning.
So today we're thinking about our health, human health, and the events of this year have not helped us. We've had stresses and strains that we could never have imagined at the start of the year. At our members' meeting this week, we were looking back on the minutes of the meeting that happened at the beginning of March, and we had no idea what was about to come our way. And again, we face a future that is very uncertain. It says in the Psalms that God knows our frailty, that he knows that we are dust. And there are times when we know our frailty. We know that we are weak. Any one of us can be struck by a physical condition, or we can have a sudden deterioration or a gradual deterioration in our mental health. Now, there are things that we can do to improve our physical health, to improve our mental health, and it would be really good to do them. They do make a difference. But there are no guarantees. You can never smoke in your life and still get lung cancer. And you can be physically fit and do all the things that are advised for mental illness and still find yourself full of depression. I'm not saying this, I hope, to be overly negative. I'm just trying to paint a reality, because I think even today, sometimes Christian believers think that they ought not to have these sorts of conditions. In the early days of my ministry, Christians who were on antidepressants really used to hide it, and they didn't know how many other people were. I'm not sure we're in that position today. I think we are more honest. But let's recognize, not just from our own experience, but from the Bible, that these things happen to all sorts of people, including us. You know, many years ago, there was a song that for a while in the Christian church was very popular. If you're my age, you'll remember it maybe. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. Fantastic words. I love them. I didn't realize at the height of this song's popularity that the composer of that song had somewhat mangled the scripture in Lamentations that it was quoting. In fact, there was a version, which I didn't realize at first, that actually quoted a much wider range of verses from Lamentations 3, although that never got to the same level of popularity. What I didn't realize when I was singing that song with enthusiasm is that the person who wrote that song was really in quite a state. He talks about the darkness that he is in. It's an act of will for him to say that God is always faithful, that tomorrow morning there are going to be some new mercies for him. And we sometimes come to worship like that as well. It's really helpful for us to get to know the Psalms. Some of them are a bit strange to us, but there's this thread throughout them about the pain of life. Psalm 42, you know, why are you so downcast, my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. And we can think as well about the cries of agony of Jesus that we mentioned in the service a couple of weeks ago. Or think of Job, who cursed the day that he was born. Oh, brothers and sisters, don't get me wrong. I'm not prophesying we're all going to be there tomorrow or this year or anything like that. But it seems to be part of normal Christian experience that we have to go through a low point to really understand how great God is. We sing, "Our God is a great big God," first of all as a children's song. And then we go through it. And then in the end, after so much trouble, we come back to this song. Our God is a great big God, and he holds us in his hand. Lamentations was written at a time when everything had come crashing down. The person who wrote this, his nation had been invaded by a foreign army, and the temple had been destroyed. People were being taken into exile. But he manages to hold on to faith. He cries out to God and he says to the Lord, "Uphold my cause." And so today, we come to God and we pray and we seek him. Whatever energy you've got, whatever faith you've got, can I encourage you to use it? Even if you think it's very little, even if it's just that one word prayer, "Help!" Then God wants to hear that prayer today, and it is valuable to him. Yes, let's do the things that make for good physical and mental health. There's practical advice in the livability paper, and that sometimes it's good to turn off the news on your phone. There's some hints about taking exercise and how we might do that. There's hints about singing and how you could join an online choir. The details aren't that important, but you know, some practical suggestions. Remind a friend of their best qualities. Call someone who's feeling lonely. Pay someone a compliment. Go on, go for it. And put out a bowl of water for the birds. We feed the birds, and the birds certainly take advantage of everything that we offer to them and repay us by letting us see something of their beauty. Let's do some things, if we're able, that make for good physical and spiritual health. But let's recognize that God is much, much bigger than we are. And therefore we can pray. So let's come to God now. I don't want to put my words into your mouth for prayer this week, so I haven't included as much spoken prayer in the service as usual, although the songs that we've sung are really important prayers. Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. If you feel you need more words for prayer, maybe revisit the songs. Jesus, you know what it's like to be me, so I'll trust you completely, utterly. What I want to do now is give you the chance to pray as you feel you want to pray to God. So we're going to have some silence, and feel free to use that however you want. You just might want to be still before the Lord and speak out nothing. There may be words that you need to form in your head, or if you're able to pray out loud. But let this be time when in whatever way we feel best, we can pray to God today. Let's be still and know that He is God. And we pray together the prayer that towers above all other prayers, the one that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.